Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Say a joke, but no one can get offended.
Okay.
Who wants to hear a dad joke?
I do.
Go ahead.
You were born
raw. Ow!
Oh!
Welcome to. Why am I not drinking? Well, welcome to.
You can't be offended. I said that straight away. You can't be offended. Didn't mean anything.
So rude. Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast about geekism, nerdery, and all else in between, and insults from a certain.
You can't be offended.
Girl. I didn't say I was offended. Did I say I was offended? No.
You don't have to say this. I know your times.
I'm fine. I'm completely fine.
Yeah, maybe I'm just quiet right now. He's upset as well. They're
shaking my head, thinking, every week, somehow, this man seems to up his insult. But this
it was a joke. Did you not hear me say
and
that?
And the thing is, I'm actually laughing. So,
that's the thing. I'm actually bending up. I'm just keeping it very quiet. But I'm just shaking my head, thinking, damn, man. You know what I mean? You can just release a book for bars for days at this point.
You know,
I work in retail. Would you expect?
I'm going to introduce with a rudeness as the Elden Ring's boss who decides to up their health bar when you just got it down halfway. I have a brother on the left of me. What's up?
That's me. You know, people are offended. You know, it's a joke. You know, I just said you can't be offended. And you
I'm not offended. Over there, offended in the corner and silent, is a big man to the right of me.
Good evening. Good afternoon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, oh, dear, and welcome. Hope you're keeping safe, doing well. I hope you're all watching and enjoying Moon Knight, which is on its second season. We actually didn't talk about
second
the
episode,
premiere. It's on the second episode. Please feel free to get in contact. Give me your verdict. Give me what you think at stjudesavengers@gmail.com. If you haven't watched it, that may not make sense. If you have watched it, I think you know what we're talking about. That and a pair of Air Forces. Anyway, Big Man, I believe it is your turn this week. What do you have for us?
Yes, it is. I'm going to set you the scene. So a couple of days ago, I was trying to research on a program that I believe was on the verge of being aired. I was probably wrong, but we'll discuss that at a later date. And I came across a list of programs and list of films that were due out this year. And to be perfectly honest, I felt rather shocked because like with Moon Knight, it's something new and it's something fresh. What has gone wrong with Hollywood where everything I'm seeing is a reboot? There's no originality going on in the world. What's happening? So here, this episode, I'd like to discuss reboots and why are there too many of them? What's happening? Where has it gone wrong? And I might shock you with some titles which I didn't even know were in being rebooted as we speak.
Surprise me.
Go on.
American Psycho.
I'm sorry, what?
Did you
say American Psycho? Psycho.
Yep.
American Psycho.
Yep.
Okay.
When did the first one come out again?
I don't even know. I guess we'll look it up in a minute.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, okay. So American Psycho, what else?
The title right to start off with. Now, TV show. This one shocked me. Fraggle Rock.
Oh my, what in the hate crime?
Okay, I wouldn't say it needs a remake. Maybe if you want to bring it back, fair enough, a revamp, but a remake? I mean, I kind of... Like, something like Fraggle Rock, I can get because that's a retro feel. I mean, because you're tying into the old school fan base and then the new, and then prime introducing to a new audience. So I kind of get that. With American Psycho, okay, it's 22 years old, came out in 2000, but it's still quite prevalent in society. Everyone knows American Psycho. That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense to me. That one.
No, and this is the thing that started it all off, because I was, what I went to see, this way it all started from. So, I saw Morbius last weekend.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if I'm going to see it anytime soon.
So, I guess you
were the Hunger Games tribute this time. Okay, cool.
So, anyway. Prior to the film starting, they had obviously you have your advertisements, your trailers and whatnot forthcoming. So an advertisement for a TV series, in fact, a reboot of a TV series, which was a reboot of a film, which I thought, hang on a second, didn't we have this not so long ago? This was cheaper by the dozen.
Yeah, because Tom Holland was
It's Disney, they're in the Disney version. A more diverse.
Yeah.
To be okay, this is why I stand on remakes, because remakes and remasters or rebirths or whatever you want to call them. Like, I'm in two minds of them. Because, like, at one end, I'm not gonna say no to a remake of a game, for example. Like, if you're gonna give me a game that I love from my childhood or from whenever and bring it back with an all new shiny coat of paint, I'm for that. Hello, Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3 remastered. Those games were, I'm happy. Final Fantasy 7, for God's sake, come on. Like, if you're gonna do something like that on that level, fair enough. Film wise, it's a bit hit and miss, but it makes sense financially, because when producers or whoever decide to make a remake of a certain franchise, it makes sense because they've already got an established fan base, but it can be Russian roulette on what way they're going to go. I mean, are you going to stay loyal to that fan base, or are you going to change up for the sake of changing it up? So, you know, it's like, do I feel like it's necessary? No, originality would be appreciated. But at the same time, it's kind of a safe bet, but it realistically, it's laziness.
Oh, of course it is. And that's what I mean. This was the start, because when I saw the advertisement, I'm like, hang on. Why? I mean, I get it being a Disney thing, but yet again, it's the originality of it. When was the last time anyone came across a program that was fresh, completely different, and you thought, you know what, this is quality, and hasn't been touched up or been redone yet?
You want me?
I'd like to add to that, right?
What do you mean?
Because on the one hand, reboots, redos, whatever's, especially in film, you are almost guaranteed bank, because there's an audience that, as far as you're concerned, are already waiting for it. You feel that they're guaranteed to turn up again for that curiosity factor. And also it's the willingness of people to engage across the board in a new IP, right? So it's a big risk as far as they're concerned, which is why you get the whole thing of splitting things up into twos, making it last longer, series that are, you know, that are kind of assured now, they'll just keep churning those out, because you know you're guaranteed a base income, if you will. right now, like when we say, oh, it's always, in a way, it's always been going on. Point out to The Thing. The Thing is a remake.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
A lot of the stuff that we watch sometimes, and stories get remade, like Universal Monsters. It just, every so often, they especially because those things are kind of, you can have free reign with and using those stories again and again. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to take a risk on a new IP. And more than likely, people will go and watch it, even just to see what the hell it is. Whether you get longevity is a different thing. And also, some things that were cults, like American Psycho, people want to say they can redo it again, up a few things, up the shock, and get more bums on seats. So there's that behind it. In some ways, with gaming, it's a different thing because, as Bruv said, sometimes you want to see the technical. So Final Fantasy VII, for example, is, you know, the thing that springs to mind. When you saw that transition from Final Fantasy VI to Final Fantasy VII, the game is game-changing. Having that I call that a remaster because it is a remaster. It's not the same game. There's more, and it's a beautiful-looking game with almost a completely different combat system. There are some things that hook you in that you want to see. So there's more curiosity, but there's already, and it's a, you know, it's one of the most well-known games that there's ever been. It is always on top 10 lists for something. So I can understand the remaster to not only kind of add some new things. I put Resident Evil, like 3 and like 2 and 3 recently. I put that in the same thing of, you know, adding a few bits. And also I think with gaming, it's a bit more of a, when some of these people started to do things, the tech wasn't there. Now they really get to. So I kind of get, I'm probably more forgiving in gaming than I am in film.
But saying that, as we all are comic book fans and we're used to the reboots of Universal, redoing all characters, redoing everything, shouldn't we be used to that by now? Shouldn't we be okay with it?
Yeah, I mean, we should. I mean, in the nicest way possible, how many times can we relive Uncle Ben's death in Spider-Man?
I still got 5 more goes in me. I love seeing that old man suffer and those tears of misery. They sustain my soul. Die, Ben, die. Sorry, what? What happened?
Dr. Doom, are you? Didn't realize you were here.
Hey, Dr. Doom is a political hero, okay?
Wow.
By the way, okay.
I've been alone too long. I'm going to come over and check you.
Moon Knight reference. Watch out for the Doctor Doom reference in the first episode. That's all I'm going to say. If you don't know where it is, look out for it.
Now, the thing is, I'm about to hurt you, Sissy. I'm about to hurt you bad from this one.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any way I can just say this without not laughing, but apparently, on the 28th of July this year, House Party, it will be out by HBO.
Even I'm uncomfortable with that one. I'm uncomfortable. I don't like this episode. I feel very uncomfortable.
There was only one other person who could have stepped into the shoes of Robin Harris, and he's also dead.
Who's that?
Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
Good point.
Some things cannot be rebooted.
I agree.
Because, like, Weird Science, it doesn't work. Because
I've been really craving to watch that. And I thought I had it on DVD and I don't.
Still holds up, man. It's still funny as.
It's funny, but if you add it to today, it becomes a horror movie. If you do that whole thing today, it becomes a horror movie. And you can, like, just the whole, we're going to make a woman to do what we want with her, right there becomes, this is this hostile? What? I don't like it. And I think it's like anything. People want to produce something where you're guaranteed the most bums on seats. And to answer the things that you said before about when has there been something original, It's almost like everything original that takes a risk, like The Wire took a risk to be The Wire. It's become one of the greatest television shows ever.
Oh, yeah.
But it took a risk to be that. And it's telling an age-old story of corruption, just in a different way. Breaking Bad took a risk to be Breaking Bad. And one of the recent things I can say that's original that actually went against the trend was What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
As a film that was, you know, yes, we've done vampire films. Who's done a vampire documentary, playing it seriously, that three vampires are in a house share and they want to get to the masquerade ball and they meet werewolves? That's just shot from a documentary perspective. And then to continue that and put that into TV, not use the same characters, reference them, and talk about this whole new world outside of New Zealand and make it work, that's original. However, unfortunately, I think because of how the system works now with, in terms of getting films out there, because of the amounts of money, very few places are prepared to take risk on original content. Netflix and that may take a risk on original content and other places, but it's still big bank. Whereas before, I feel like that there was more of a risk. And I guess it's those who are like, yeah, we're not just here for the art, we want to make a shit ton of money as well. But remakes, reboots, and remasters have always been a part of all of our entertainment. As Bruv said, the biggest offender of this is comics. If someone just goes, can we just kill everyone and start again? Yeah, okay, sure. We're just going to do that now, right? Okay, cool.
It's beyond repair and reboot. And like you said, comics can be the number one for the masters of doing it. How many stories have we been retold? How many Fantastic Four, Spider-Man reboots have we gone through? And still more to come, more than likely. How many times can we see, as I said, Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne be murdered?
I've got a good four of those for them.
You got one less.
Yeah,
one more for Ben.
Yeah, I think I've seen that one made too many times in different adaptations. But I've got four more in me. I've got to see those pearls just dangle in my face. Yeah.
Oh god, that sounds weird.
I mean,
yes, I know. That's why I did it.
That sounds
not so bad. I mean, straight away, Battlestar Galactica is one of them that just completely broke records because I didn't see that coming. I don't think anyone did.
I remember when I was at a friend's house and they were like, we're going to put on Battlestar Galactica. I was like, excuse me? This is what we're doing with the evening. And then it was a case of, we were so gripped on what we were watching, especially because a baby gets killed in the first 5 minutes. I was like, and that was just a game changer. I think it's the appetite. It's the appetite of those who are willing to authorize anything. And also desperation sometimes, I feel.
But that's a proxy. Sorry, go on.
But
the problem with Battlestar Galactica is that when it created a trend, because after that, then we had like remake shows like Bionic Woman
and V,
and you know, and like as much as I wanted Misha Ryan to succeed, it wasn't a good show. Like I tried to like it. There are parts of it I did genuinely like, but. Yeah.
The idea of the ready-made audience who will spend their money willingly, come back on several occasions and make bank. However, what it is the audience has become discerning. So at one point, everybody thought they could do a comic book movie. Everyone thought they could just knock it and you'd buy. Like, it's like how everyone thinks they can do a video game movie. And it's like, no. And there's been very few successful video game movies. Quite literally, what, Sonic?
Yeah.
Sonic, Final Fantasy, Advent Children.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that was stunning, yeah.
You could technically say, even though To be fair, you can say the Resident Evil series, the Paul W. Anderson, because like in all fairness, it got six movies out of it. So no, six.
I lost count.
Resident Evil Apocalypse, Resident Evil, the one in the desert, Memphis. Resident Evil Afterlife, Resident Evil Retribution, Resident Evil Final Chapter.
Yeah, six.
Huh? Six, yeah.
And even to extend the Mortal Kombat reboot.
Hey, I think that's just a good. I think that should have been the thing I said.
That wasn't too good. Bad.
Excuse me? Have you?
The last one, the most recent one.
Oh, the most. Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you.
I'll take it back. We had recorded saying you actually quite liked it.
Sorry. I thought you meant the original too. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. What? Yeah. No, we cut Christopher Lambert. No, he only belongs in Highlander, and only the first one.
He was clearly a Chinese god. What are we talking about? Was a Japanese? God? Am I being racist?
He just We're not doing this.
You're just overreacting clearly. But then, go on.
No, I said no. That's the thing. I mean, you have your good titles. I mean, for me, there's certain stuff you should not touch. I mean, as everyone knows, I adore Quantum Leap. Am I ready for a reboot? No, I'm not. Do I want it to work? Of course I do. Is it gonna? I doubt it very much. But just don't. Just please. I actually thought of it while I was watching Morbius, so that tells you how great Morbius is. About all these other titles that I thought, just don't do. I mean, could you imagine what would happen if someone greenlighted a Ferris Bueller reboot?
They have.
They tried.
So excuse me.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't a reboot, it was a series.
Mm. Oh, that, you know, actually I erased that from my memory.
I didn't.
Back to the Future is another one. I mean, there was rumours for a while that someone had the idea to reboot, and that was shot down straight away.
It's nostalgia. At a certain point, people cash in on nostalgia, and there's a reason why the secret cinemas that do, you know, Dirty Dance and all that do really well, because nostalgia is like, oh, remember when? It's just that I feel that more and more as time goes on, we're more self-aware. Not everyone has those nice fluffy memories, so it doesn't cash in on bank the same.
No, and that, yet again, you hit the nail on the head, because you mentioned Dirty Dancing, Secret Cinema, and Bank. Did you know another one rebooted forthcoming at some point later on this year? Paramount Plus are releasing Rise of the Pink Ladies, which is the prequel to Grease.
It doesn't surprise me, because it's still getting off that whole nostalgia thing. Whereas I'm like, you know,
I'm a sucker for a musical, you know. I'm not gonna lie.
I love a good musical.
But I'm not gonna watch Grease.
No. No. Because the longer I watch Grease sometimes, the more I'm like, 50s. 50s. Great time. Really? It was a great. Not buying it. Sorry. Some of us, it wasn't a great time.
Are you implying that Greece is historically wrong?
I mean, aside from the fact that everybody there is 40, and they're playing 17-year-olds, you know, I mean, a tradition that was actually what carried on in High School Musical. So I rate
she
them
was
that.
Not.
Right, she had stretch marks. She literally had scars. I'm just gonna say that.
She was okay. She was like in her 30s, but
she
like,
didn't even have the weave with the mesh. It was
okay. You made your point. Carry on. You made your point. Carry on. You made your point. Carry on. Carry on, Chantel.
She literally ordered the maca for her perimenopause. Oh, just wanted to say that.
Right. So move on so swiftly from that. Stephen King.
Yes.
He's making some dough this year, because on September the 9th, we have a reboot of Salem's Lot.
Okay.
Again?
I'm
thinking the wrong film. All right, which one's Salem's Lot again?
This is the first reboot of Salem's Lot. Salem's Lot is with vampires.
Mm. Oh, I've never watched this, I don't care.
Right.
I'm going to have to say this, right?
When it comes to y'all, okay, full disclosure, I am a very, very big Stephen King fan.
She hides it well.
Stephen King will, allow some people to buy, because he is that prolific, he has so much work, because not only is it a case of him having novels that you can buy, sometimes it's like he's got a book, some short stories that go on to be little things and what have you. And Stephen King, he will allow people in some instances to buy the rights to his work to use for $1. And that has happened for, and also some people get to kind of, what's the word? They try out the directing chops using some of Stephen King's films to see what they can do with the work. So Stephen King is, you know, his stuff always gets redone. I've heard there's meant to be another Maximum Overdrive reboot.
Yes!
Yeah.
I love that
which
film.
I wouldn't mind, to be honest with you, because it wasn't that, it was a mad little weird film that could be done into a more terrifying aspect. And I think that's the thing, is that because Stephen King has been so prolific over a good 30 years, there comes a point when everyone likes Stephen King and then everyone stops using him and then they like him again. What's made that difference is that he puts his name behind things like, you know, and works like Greg Nicotero and people like that for like the rebooted Creepshow stuff on Shudder and all of that. So his like one of his short stories, The Jaun, is going to be redone right now. Or it's going to be done for the first time. So, and you know, we can't help but say it was successful. That is a redone. That's a redo over. And in a way, I'm glad that it was redone, because the original series, they had their budget cut and they were only given 3 hours to produce this opus that's over 1,000 pages. So in that case, it's like, it is a redo. It is a redo. And I'm glad they had the money and the clout to redo it. Pet Sematary, not so much of a fan. It was aight. But then again, the original was just aight.
And you know, obviously, Firestar is another one out. Actually, that's
Yeah, Firestar is due out. I'd be interested to see that again, because once again, that was done all right. There were some missteps in it, but it's all right. Carrie's been redone how many goddamn times at this point?
Four.
Yeah, please don't touch it again. I'm quite happy to never touch it again, because none of them have really touched the original.
It's
just showing, I don't think it will.
I'm not going to lie. I know you've been talking a lot. I've been phasing it in and out, but I've just been thinking about Maximum Overdrive. I love that film. I never realized how much I love that film. I think it was a Green Goblin van. The Green Goblin van and the AC/DC soundtrack. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not Oscar-winning masterpiece, but I just love that film. It's just such a great film.
It's such a silly little weird odd funny.
It's so dumb.
Oh. And so I call it that Green Goblin truck after you. Is just so dumb.
Stephen King directed that one, didn't he?
I think he did, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely in it, is what I will. Well.
Rest in peace, Emilio Estevez. Whatever, man.
Bloody
he's not dead. He's still alive. His career.
I was going to say his career, right? Because his career. No.
Yeah, the last thing he did that was any of importance.
Mission Impossible, wasn't it?
Well, I was going to give him a bit more credit than that, but he directed... actually, decent film about Kennedy's brother, Bobby.
Yeah, you're right, Bobby. It was directed by Stephen King. And as much as I've got love for Stephen, you shouldn't be allowed to do that again.
You really shouldn't be allowed to do that again.
You shouldn't be. Stephen King, we love you, but you shouldn't do that again.
When rights become directors, it doesn't work out well. We think, frankly,
not everyone can do it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Everyone can do it, and just, it's okay, but just stop.
Yeah, David Goyer, no.
No.
Stephen King, no.
No.
Frank Miller, no.
No. Ooh.
Well, this one was a bit of a shocker. Apparently, later on this year, we have a Disney/Netflix adaptation of Pinocchio.
Because that wasn't, the original wasn't traumatic enough, no?
No, but this time, it's directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Ooh.
Oh, wrong. It's going to be more horrific. Oh, my God.
Ooh, Pan's Labyrinth meets Pinocchio. Yes, I can do that.
And that's the thing with the reboot. Illustrated perfectly. Sometimes with the remake, when you get someone who's interesting, you can add a different take. You're suddenly like, I would like that. Because believe me, if I heard the words 13 Ghosts and Guillermo del Toro, front row and center, I'm front row. I'm just front row. Rub two.
My English. Love you, okay? Yeah, I'm good. Pinocchio and Guillermo del Toro.
As a kid, I'll be honest, the scene where they turn into donkeys, that terrified the shit out of me.
I've recently heard the actual real story of Pinocchio. Fuck me, that's some... Why are fairy tales so fucked up? Why? These are fairy tales for kids. Why? Why?
It's like the original Snow White. When you hear it, you're like, they did what?
Yeah.
She did what?
Yeah.
She danced in the hot... What? Until what exploded? Yeah, no. It was a different time.
You think?
On it, I just remember that scene, watching it, and because it's the transformation is done with their shadows of these boys becoming donkeys, and something about it, it's something about it, just, I feel it in my whole soul, and it makes me terrified. It's like in Fantasia, some of the imagery I don't like, the pink elephants, I don't like it. It freaks me out. I just don't. Ew.
You know, that, to be fair, that was another film where I remember watching as a child, and I just have so many questions to what was going on. I mean,
well, Fantasia.
Visually stunning, yeah.
Never watched that, and I'm kind of glad.
Is that even on Disney Plus?
Say again?
Is that even on Disney Plus?
If it is, I ain't watching it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend. It's one of those things. It's like that Fox and the Hound thing. You think you're safe because you go, oh, it's old school. How traumatic can it be? And then you're crying because it hurts a lot. Or the imagery is just so haunting. Back to Pinocchio. But I am, like, bruv, I am actually intrigued by a Guillermo del Toro Pinocchio scene.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering, I don't know about you guys, but I'm wondering where they're going to get Chuck Jones in, because he's a staple. So where's...
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt he'll be there somewhere.
Who's he going to be? Ooh.
And just so you know, Big Man Fantasia is on Disney Plus.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck with that. I wouldn't drink while watching it, or do anything, because the nightmares will be enough. Yeah, watch it in daylight.
But back...
Well, yeah...
Hold on.
No, go get you first, bro.
No, I was going to say, well, back on the like, subject of just remakes or reboots, are they a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah. It all depends on how it's treated. Like, for every remake, for every, like, MacGyver remake, for example, you get a Charmed remake.
I'm trying to figure out Well, the MacGyver's the good one, right?
MacGyver's definitely a good one. MacGyver's really good. It's really true to what MacGyver did. So I will always recommend the MacGyver remake every single time. I will not recommend Young MacGyver that had one pilot, which was terrible, but I'll always recommend 2016 MacGyver. Charmed. I have not seen the remake of Charmed. I don't plan to see the remake of Charmed. And I don't see the point of the remake of Charmed.
Charmed was an odd one, though. Charmed was an odd series, in my opinion. It came to a point where it just jumped. It was interesting, and the person I used to live with, like, made me watch it with her. And first I was like, I think that kind of like after Buffy, in it, like, how do we feel the whole? Mm. So we watched that. It's like, but then some of it was actually really interesting. It became quite cool.
Mm.
And then it jumped the shark. I was like, oh, I'm done.
See, I felt.
No, I was going to say, with Charmed, I didn't get it first time round, and it's only because of sheer boredom. I remember, I think the UK Living used to have it.
UK Living, bloody
Jesus. God, UK Living, that and the Keep Up with Appearances, back to back.
Yeah, they rinsed that, and I remember the only reason I got into it, because one, I fancied the hell out of Lisa Milano, that was a no-brainer.
Ian McMahon. There's one thing about Big Man. Yeah. Known him since primary school. Mm-hmm. Like when he gets hyped on a guy, it's like it's a big deal. It's a big deal because he would not shut up about Ian McMahon, and he pegged him. He pegged him from day one to play Doc Doom. Yeah. And lo and behold, he did. Yeah. And to be fair, love or hate the Tim Story films, he was really good in them. He was really good. Yeah. And I only started watching Charm because of Warren, to be fair, because I wasn't that interested in it.
And he was the turning point of it. And that's the sad thing.
Yeah.
When his character, Cole, it was, turned up in Series 3.
Yeah, Cole was a highlight. That was a highlight.
He just completely changed it because I didn't give a damn about Lee or the White Lion. No one cared about him. The fact
That man's not
Brian Krause alone.
Look, he ain't been good since Sleepwalkers. We all know.
Okay, time. He was never good in Sleepwalkers. Let's be honest. No one was good in Sleepwalkers. Let's be fair.
I remember watching it, and Cole turns up, and all of a sudden, this program went from a 5 to an 8, and I thought, okay, you know what? There's something about this character, and then when it progressed, you realise he was there to eliminate them. But then developed feelings for Phoebe. Then he was torn. And then what it became in later series, it was at its highest peak. And then when that was it. The problem just went downhill.
Yeah, that was it. Julian McMahon was an absolute. He was the highlight of Charmed.
Did I call him Ian McMahon? Who the fuck's Ian McMahon?
I don't know. I was like, Ian? No, it's Julian.
My bad, I apologize. I don't know why I call him Ian. I don't know, maybe he looks like an Ian, I guess.
I forgot he was Australian. I did.
He's only Australian.
That one's the stage, isn't it?
He was married to who?
Danny Minogue.
Really?
Yeah, so one of her music videos, he's the dancer, and I think they met on that.
No, Danny!
Yeah.
Danny Minogue, he was married to her for a year. They married in 94 and divorced in 95.
Damn. Wow. The last thing I saw Julian McMahon in was a film called Bait. Say what?
It's not like Bait. It's just too bait in it.
It was pseudo American Australian film about it's a shark film. I love it.
You do have a thing for shark films, bro.
Because they're simple and effective. It's dumb, but like I love the concept is that there was this supermarket and there's this huge typhoon apparently because it happens in I didn't know where it was supposed to be in the reality of the film, because a lot of them had, you can tell there are a lot of Australians trying to be American.
Well, the Hemsworths were there then, yeah?
do you know what? It might have been. They all blend into one after a while. I don't know. Julian McMahon was a guy who was about to rob the place, and then obviously the tsunami hit, and then in the shopping center there were these sharks that just got in and they started killing people. And I was just like, okay, cool. that did the job for me.
And never forget that Julian McMahon warts so the Hemsworths could run.
Yeah. And to be fair,
you
I
know,
mean,
never, you know, speaking about brothers and like Sharp movies, I've never seen brothers get such a. I can't remember why I was staying over with bruv, but I've never seen brother get a more comfortable sleep with me and him just lying there with Deep Lucy in the background, and he just looks so comfortable.
Hey,
so peace. Because yeah, the whole world.
Because it ain't me that's getting in that situation. So it's all good.
It's all Cool J in the oven, but he survived.
Deep Lucy, damn it.
Damn it.
Yeah, to be fair, Charmed started off good, went to an extreme high, and then went to a painful, painful low to the point I didn't even care how it ended. When they cast,
it was a Buffy ripoff, and it didn't know how to deal with it. Sorry, it was a Buffy ripoff that didn't know how to deal with itself.
I don't think that's a fair. I wouldn't call it a Buffy ripoff because Buffy was capable.
Raw, but true. But no, but true.
Like,
but true.
Yeah,
I just, you're not. No yeah. lies were told. No lies were told.
Yeah, I just. I don't. Yeah, I don't class this Buffy ripoff. I tried. It was his own thing. It just wasn't. Like, I mean, it wasn't. It was again. It was a good show. It just outstayed its welcome.
What's that, like, Buffy?
No. Charmed. Yeah.
Yeah. It did carry on too long.
I mean, Supernatural.
But yeah, it carried on a little bit too long.
Yeah, because like the episode where basically they. Fake their deaths and then just walk away. That's where it should have been. That was it. Done. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. And then we want more money. Okay. There we go. Let's do another season.
Because I'm like, who's watching? Stop, please.
And like Supernatural, isn't it? Exactly. Who was watching?
Don't anger the Supernatural fan base. I'll fuck you up, man.
Hey, look, they can come for me. Yeah.
You heard it, people. All right. Wayward sons and daughters go after a big man. Go for him. You know.
Oh god. Oh my god.
Another one, which I'm shocked because I don't know how I feel about this, and I know.
Oh, give it to me. Give it to me. Come on. Oh, give me it.
Hellraiser.
Right.
I'm quite surprised. It's not been sooner.
Yeah. My only concern is a lack of Doug Bradley.
But to be fair, I think he's done with that
he's franchise. He's done. So I'm kind of like, you know. I think, because I've kind of read up a bit on the Hellraiser reboot. And they've basically taken it back to the source material. So in that, I find that a much more interesting take. A bit like Final Fantasy VII. I find it more interesting because I feel like I'm going to get more depth. And Pinhead's going to be a woman, which was originally how it was written. So with that, I'm interested if they're going to, you know, put some respect on Clive Barker's name and do a good job by it. I think that's the key we're saying. Show us something interesting. Go on, bro.
No.
Well, because I'm saying show us something interesting. And that may then create a new fan base who suddenly find themselves wanting to look back and go, okay, because the first Hellraiser still holds up. That is still terrifying. The first two films I thoroughly enjoy.
That's what we hear. Yeah.
What?
Boy, it just gets to me every time. It's true. He just appears. You open the box.
What's I gonna say now? I can't remember what's gonna play say now. That's it. In the comic books and Hellraiser, I like what they did with them actually, because I think what's the main girl's name in the first Hellraiser film?
Oh
god, hang on.
Kirsty?
Yeah, because in the comic books, she actually becomes the new Pinhead.
Oh,
yeah, in comic book continuity, she actually took over. Like, it was I can't remember how it got to that point, but yeah, she basically Pinhead got swapped out and became got imprisoned in his own hell, and she became the new Pinhead.
Oh, okay, interesting.
And, Kirsty, you were right. You guys were right.
Yeah.
It's a shame because with the Hellraiser franchise, it was left in a complete mess because a lot of the films were other films that they just turned into Hellraiser films, which like
completely.
and it was just, so it's like, the only ones I kind of take for serious canon film wise are the first two, maybe three at a push, but yeah,
it really did.
But I mean, I lost count when I saw what one of them advertised online, and they're saying Pinhead was caught in the Matrix, and I thought, okay, I've got many questions here. And that's all I had to say. But there was just way too many Hellraiser films. And that would be one hell of a bastard box set if someone did one together. But
there's only 10, that's fine.
I mean, it's not the longest franchise in horror or thing. I'm sure there are longer.
Like?
Amityville, right?
Amityville is one. Didn't Leprechaun get up to stupid points?
No, Leprechaun got to like about, what? Five,
three?
And,
well, four,
like,
yeah, I can say 3 or 5 at least.
Yeah, 5, and then like there was a WWE remake.
Oh, never in my life did I think I'd hear the words WWE remake.
Hey, man.
There are some words that chill the blood.
Yeah, talking about had wrestling star Hornswoggle playing.
I forgot about that.
That top wrestling star Horns. Why am I taking the piss out of him? The man's a wrestler. I'm not. So I'm gonna shut up. But that's the film that happened.
Friday the 13th is 12 films.
No, it's 11. No, it's 10. No, it's 10 and a half. What? It's 10 and a half. Well,
why are you laughing?
Because Freddy vs Jason.
I knew you gonna. Well, he's in there for more than.
Yeah, but he's sharing it with another killer, so it's half a film. He gets one half, and he gets the other half. So fair.
I can't argue the admirable geek knowledge. Damn it.
But technically, no, 11 is a remake, so technically, yeah.
That's the thing. But to be fair, yeah, Friday the 13th is a bit of a one, isn't it?
Is it what one? Is it what
one? What's it called? Friday the 13th is like the motherload of remakes.
I only had one remake. To be fair, each franchise, barring the barring Hellraiser, they've all had remakes. So, Texas Chainsaw, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th,
Halloween multiple times.
Did they say Texas Chainsaw Massacre, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, I actually have some receipts, yo.
Okay.
So, Night of the Living Dead's got 6 films and counting. Paranormal Activity, 7. Texas Chainsaw
Massacre. Time out.
Whoa,
7.
Come for me. 7 confirmed films on Paranormal Activity.
Okay, Paranormal Activity 1, 2, 3, 4 marked ones. Where are the other two?
There's one I saw that was in Mexico.
That's the marked ones.
Now, I know there's one being rebooted, but I didn't know that there was up to 7.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm not going to argue.
Oh, God. Okay, Paranormal Activity, 2, 3, 4, Mark 1's 5, The Ghost Dimension 6, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin 7.
Okay, those last two I'd never heard of.
Ghost Dimension 2015, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin is 2021.
Oh.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 8. I don't know if that includes the reboot, the current reboot.
Which reboot? Technically, that's not even a reboot. That's like a follow up from the second
continuation.
We're
not even sure anymore. So that's 9. Saw's 8 films. Actually, 9 because you got to include Spiral.
Spiral.
Conjuring's got 8. Not really? Else has got 9.
Whoa.
Conjuring has 8.
Wait a minute, Conjuring 1 to 3, Annabelle's.
Are they counting those? Yeah, they count.
They're going to count them. They're going to count them as. They're going to count them as in that series. So
that's about right, actually.
Yeah.
The Conjuring universe. Conjuring. Yeah, makes
sense. Nightmare on Elm Street's 9.
9.
Children of the Corn is 10.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's so many like straight to video version sequels of that bloody film.
Puppet Master's 12.
What?
Yeah,
there's a
we live in a world where Lake Placid has like 5 sequels.
For real, dude.
And there's only one good film, which was the first one.
Ready?
Quote the line.
RIP, princess.
line, if I had a dick, if I had a dick, this is where you can go. This is where I tell you to go suck it.
Yeah. Suck it.
Best line. You don't
Friday the 13th, 12, and Halloween. And even now, I think that's wrong because it said it had 13 films, but that was as a 2020. So there've been two more. So
wait, sorry, Friday the 13th, 12.
It said Friday the 13th has 12 films.
Okay, so Friday the 13th, 1, Friday the 13th, 2, 3, 4, 5 is when he... Okay, 4 is when it's fake Jason. 5 is when he actually comes back.
So part 3, part 4 is the final chapter. Part 5
is fake Jason. Yeah,
new beginning. Part 6 when he comes is back. Jason lives.
Yeah.
Part 7 is Freddy versus Jason versus the New Blood.
That's Carrie. Yeah. Yeah, that's a Carrie one.
9
is my mum. It's Manhattan, baby. Woo! Is your one.
This is Manhattan.
9 is
then
the
Jason
goes
to hell. Jason X. Jason versus Freddy. I know he takes half a movie, but hey, they count as a full. Then the 2009 Jason.
Okay, they're wrong. It's a record. It's half a film. It's,
wow.
It's 11 and a half. It's 11 and a half. I'm sorry.
Okay, 11 and a half. Perhaps it's 11 and a half. And apparently then Halloween is 15. Because
you include 15?
Because this list says 13, and that was taken in 2020, which basically means there is no new Halloween and new Halloween Kills. Because that's now. So that means that has been
movies. Wait, so they've got... Halloween Kills, and Halloween Ends.
No, they haven't got the recent. They haven't got the new ones in there.
Damn.
So that's 13 without the new ones.
16, 15.
So yeah. So there we are. A little bit of quick research there. There you go.
The last two titles I have to name. One of them shocked me, but that's just nostalgia for the masses. Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Okay, I did hear about that. I did hear about it, but that's kind of Disney's thing right now, to be fair.
Yeah, they're taking their old stuff and giving it a new coat of paint for the audience.
And to be fair, I'm okay with that because that makes more sense. That's the comic book reboot fan of me because that's an old franchise. That's what I haven't seen the Chippendale like new episodes or appearances of them since like. Either the original Rescue Rangers or Who Framed Roger Rabbit where they appeared. That's literally the last time I saw them on screen I can think of. So
look, the theme tune needs to slap, is what I'm trying to say. Because some crimes. Oh my gosh. I get chills.
These two gumshoes. Oh my boys.
There's no case too big, no case too small.
You need help, just got
They don't make them like that anymore, man.
Look, you bear.
They literally did an episode daring, about this in the first season.
Karen. Oh my god. Darkwing Duck. Let's get. Oh, they don't make them like that anymore, man.
Bitches. Oh my god.
And finally,
what you got?
This one, I'm hurt with, but I can accept it if they have an idea and a concept of it, which I think might work. Ladies and gentlemen.
Uh huh.
Frasier is back.
Well, as in Kelsey Grammer, Frasier.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. Okay, I'm with you there because I don't.
And that's what I love. But even now, unless he's going to become grouchy as his late dad was, I can't see that working. I really can't see that working at all.
Is it actually Kelsey Grammer coming back?
Yeah. He's 100% confirmed it. Okay.
If it's him involved, then I'm actually more okay with it. But
you can't get a new person for Frasier.
Nah.
It's like I don't want to see a new Cheers.
Oh hell!
Cheers was. It's done. It's over. Leave it as it was. It was adjusted. It's everybody did the heavy lifting at some point.
Yeah.
Yes, we knew it was a love story back and forth and what have you, but everyone did the heavy lifting. Carla, Sam, Woody, Coach. Yeah. Look, don't let me have to go get a box set again because that did the work. Frasier, I feel like it just ended conclusively though. Like it was over.
Yeah.
But in, you know,
I had a bang of a theme song. Making a way in the world today takes everything you got. Oh, that just feels in my heart.
All your worries sure would help a lot.
Wouldn't you like to get away?
Sometimes you want to look. Look. Yeah.
See that song fits perfectly.
We're gonna do an episode about top five themes in the 80s and 90s.
I think the thing about that theme song, it just goes with any community, like any tight knit group community. Just films, just get your phones out, film some shit, make a beautiful montage of friendship. Oh, just perfect. I'm sorry. That's
someone could walk into anywhere and just go boom. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody. Yeah, you do. It's like, yes, I do. Oh yeah. My gosh. Oh.
Reboots. Gotta love him.
Or hate him.
Exactly.
All the above. I think it's only fair. They're open to our judgment because we are the fans and we have a right to say our opinions, even though a lot of times we can be obnoxious.
You lot scary for. Imagine like 20 years from now they start rebooting the Marvel Universe.
Well, they're going to have to.
Oh, God. Anyway, we've got quick quits.
Sis, that's how comic books work, honey.
It's true.
Aunt May is still alive in comic books. She's still alive.
We have to endure Civil War 2 if we make it to Civil War 2.
There's already been a Civil War 2.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for the
Oh, for the film.
Yeah.
No, to be fair.
No, yeah. I can't go for that. You know what? I ain't going for that heartbreak again. I'm not going through that. One thing you're reading it, another thing you've seen it visually. The snap that was. You know what? I'm gonna end there because I can't. I feel emotional and R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman. And aww. I'm gonna stop there because my heart can't take it anymore. Because sometimes I just want to go where everybody knows my name, and they're always glad you came. Thank you.
Go where everybody knows your name.
Anyway, on that note, thank you for listening. Thank you for your ears. If you want to get in contact with any feedback, or if somebody says whatever the hell you like, you can email centuriedsadventures@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at messeduppod, or on Twitter @andmessed. Big man, what's your socials?
I can be found on Insta at Mr_Roberts_V1. Also be found on Twitter at War3782. And last and all means least, Mr. Classic, where can we find you on your social?
You can find me on YouTube under Instant Classic Gaming. And you can also find me on Twitch, TikTok and Instagram under Instant_Classic_Gaming.
And right now he's in a really good series about the blood clot rudeness of the frankly rude and disrespectful villains and ancestor spirits in Elden Ring. Check it out.
And the worst thing about it, you haven't seen the worst ones yet.
I don't think I have, and I'm not prepared for their rudeness. But once again, thank you very much for your time, folks. Take care, stay safe, and we will see you later.
See ya.
Where everybody knows your name. And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the Centuries Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.